What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Boys of 161st Street. Thanks for joining us today, as always. Before we get this rolling, we would really appreciate it if you guys could take 2 seconds and leave a review on iTunes. It really helps us out. All right, that's enough begging. This is another episode of Roll Call, a mini-series where we individually talk about each player on the Yankees. 15 minutes starts now. All right, welcome back to another episode of Boys of 161st Street. This is the Roll Call series. If you're not familiar with it by now, it's the 15-minute episodes we do for every player on the Yankees. This time we're joined by good friend of the pod, Dan Rourke. You guys know him from Yankees Avenue.
I'm pumped to be back.
We'll be back a bunch more times because... we have nothing to talk about for the Yankees.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah. All right. So first player we're going to do here, we're going to do two with Dan. First player is Hicks. So Hicks, what do we think about him? I'm a big Hicks guy, but I want to get your guys' opinion first, just overall.
Well, if I'm going to go first, and I feel bad because I feel like I call every player on the Yankees underrated. But the first word that comes to mind is underrated with Hicks.
Yeah.
I don't think he gets that much hate compared to Stan, but I feel like automatically when a guy goes on the IL, Yankee fans just consider him like a disgrace. So, of course, him coming off a year where he wasn't all that healthy, I feel like some people will bash him, and they don't realize how good he is when on the field. Yeah. Remember that in 2018, Aaron Hicks was second in WAR among all center fielders next to Mike Trout. So, I mean, I feel like that alone, that shows how good he is when he's healthy.
Yeah, that's kind of wild. Yeah. I mean, Hicks to me is just – He makes the team better whenever he's in the lineup. He's one of the most exciting players on the team. I mean, he's the closest thing to a five-tool guy we got, I think. He can do
that's
everything.
I was going to say four-tool player on the verge of being a five. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, what is he speed? I would say like slightly above average. He's not too fast.
Yeah.
No. And he's also put on some weight a little bit.
I didn't want to be the one to bring that up. I did not want to bring that up. But I saw a couple Instagram posts. Granted, he's jacked in much better shape than I ever will be in. He does have a little bit of a belly. I did notice.
Got a little bit of a belly. I took Hicks for him too. I actually always say that I could see myself looking like Aaron Hicks.
I kind of see that too.
I hope so. He's a handsome man.
No, he's a good dude for sure.
Yeah. Maybe after he got that $70 million contract, he just got a bunch of burgers.
Rich, yeah. Go with me. On the field, I'd say 4, pushing 5. He has an amazing arm, obviously. And his switch hitting is something that is so important to a team, especially to the Yankees, with such a little lefty heavy lineup that him being able to hit left-handed is huge for us. So he brings a lot. And I was watching, he posted a video the other day. I don't know if you guys saw it, but like it was him and hitting that home run in game 5, I think it was 5 or 6, the home run against the Astros. And like those little glimpses, you just remember how good he really is when he is playing.
Yeah, dude. Hicks is literally that player who just, whenever he's on the field, I have a mental test in my head. So I've told Kev about this. I'm not sure if I told you yet, Dan, but whenever, like, regardless of stats or what they're doing, like whatever numbers they're putting up, do I think they're gonna get a hit in this any given at bat ever? It's like a confidence level test. Even when Hicks is batting like 240, which honestly he sometimes is most of the time, I get that feeling of like, okay, right, let's go. Like he's gonna get a hit right here. But other players, like we'll get to next, like players like Voit, who maybe are hitting 280, don't really do it for me. But Hicks has that. Just I have so much confidence in him for no whatever reason. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, one, he's just a very pure hitter, I feel like. I think.
Yeah.
And another thing, too, when you mentioned that he hits 240, I think this is another reason why, like, some fans will, not love him as much as they should. Yeah, he does hit 240, 250, but his on base, I mean, in 2018, when he hit 248, he had an on base of about 370. So, I mean, he does get on base. And the good thing is like you said, like when you watch him on the TV screen, when you see him on the field, he does look really, really good. And at the same time, analytics back that up as well. Analytics love Hicks.
Yeah.
Offensively, like if you look at weighted runs created plus, he's like when healthy, he's about 30% better than league average offensively, which that's good.
I mean, and you just see it when he shows the flashes, like the home run off the foul pole. Like he just seems to
Can we agree that is like the sexiest home run ever hit.
Oh, and his swing is
baseball, dude.
It's just his swing.
So it's I love how it hit the foul pole too. Everything about it is just like, because like he rips it, first of all, just a swag, the way he hit it was just beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then it's just, you have that suspense of, is it going to be fair or foul? Then it hits the foul pole, Yankee Stadium erupts.
Yeah, and then Verlander just drops to the ground too. Just everything about that was perfect.
Yeah.
And it was in a time when we were down, so that just flipped the script. He just seems to make iconic plays on the Yankees. It's just a shame that he can't stay on the field because, honestly, in his career, he never stays on the field. He's seventh year in the league, and I'll read out the games played from year one to year to now. He played 81, 69, 97, 123, 88, 137, 59. Like, he just doesn't ever really stay on the field, which sucks because we just signed him to a seven-year, $70 million deal. So, honestly, I wanted to ask you guys, because when we made that deal, I know a lot of people weren't as on board. Everybody loves Hicks, but the injuries, they show. They show that he can't stay on the field. So how are you guys feeling about that contract when he was given it? And then I'll ask how you feel now. But how do you feel about it when it was offered to him?
Well, I mean, initially... go ahead.
Initially, I loved it, honestly. I really... because I was always high on Hicks. And even now, I'm not upset about it. I mean... obviously, injuries matter, but just the swag that he brings and like the impact, the positive impact that he has when he is on the field, I feel like outweighs the risk part of the contract.
You know, I mean, the good thing too is that, yeah, it's a 7-year deal, but it's also just $10 million a year. And that already in this time here in 2020, that's not that much money. And I feel like as we go on, a $10 million a year contract isn't going to be looked at as that bad if it does turn out bad. And I really don't think it will. I mean, right now, what is he, like 31 is Hicks? 30, 31?
He's 30.
30? Okay, yeah. So, I mean, and he's got – when did that 7-year extension start? Because I know he was under control. Does that start so this year or last year part of that?
He's last year was first year, I think.
So, I mean, look at 6 years left, and he's 30 years old. Like, if he can stay healthy – and I know I feel like that's what's going to come down to, but if he can stay healthy, I have no concerns about the contract at all. Just, you know, can he stay healthy?
Which I don't think he can. He's proven it. But when he's on the team, it's great. And that's why if the season starts late, that benefits him. He's probably going to be ready by opening day if there is one halfway through this
year. He might be the first player to get Tommy John surgery, not miss one game. I mean, I don't know like the proof behind that, but I mean, he's got
it. That's kind of wild. He definitely would be.
Yeah. And I usually hate to, I don't know how much you guys like watch my videos. I tend to not call players injury prone, but with Hicks, like you can't deny. I mean, like that's a guy you can call injury.
I mean, because I agree with like with Judge, you can't really call him injury prone as much because they're fluke injuries.
Started on that.
I know, they're fluke injuries. He gets hit by balls and people call him injury prone, which blows me away. But Hicks has a different horse, a different color with that one. He has like the everything else just actually wrong with his body. Yeah. But I actually had a question for you guys because I have been seeing this. Everybody's been seeing it. Obviously, Hicks is the pimp king. He pimps everything, including walks. So. Since he does that, like you see guys like Tim Anderson who are pimping things and they're getting thrown at, why doesn't Hicks get the same treatment if he's pimping everything, including walks? Like that to me, like what is he doing differently that doesn't make him hateable?
I think one, I think in some way he's less of a douchebag about it. I feel like Tim Anderson, like I feel like there's a big difference between Tim Anderson's bat flips and like what Aaron Hicks is doing. And also too, I feel like when Aaron Hicks hits home runs, he just absolutely crushes them to the point where like it warrants a bat flip of some sort.
Yeah.
And so I mean, I feel like if he crushes them off you, then the pitcher can't really get that.
It's also different with him because it's like almost molded into his personality.
Mm-hmm. Like I feel like Hicks is just so likable. Like it's hard. Like,
yeah, he is.
Like, at least for me,
very respectable guy.
Yeah, exactly. Like I can't bash him for that. And I tend to be a little bit old school when it comes to bat flips. I'm not like a grandpa, but like there's a happy medium, I think. Yeah. I don't know what that is. But I like seeing, you know, bat flips, but at the same time, I do want hitters to be respectful. So, like, I like how Aaron Judge, the way he, you know, most of the time he'll just hit a home run, even if it's 500 feet, he'll put his head down and run.
Yeah,
I like that. But at the same time, I do like bat flips as well. You know,
so. Yeah. I like it in the big situation when it's, like, that added, like when Judge looks at the bench, does the little
ball. Oh, I love that, bro. Oh, my God.
Big shit. Like, I love that. But I think, with Hicks, it's just, like, he's just like that. Like, with a walk, I feel like the pitcher doesn't take it as, like, oh, he's coming at me.
He like pimps walks though.
Yeah,
he'll toss it up. It's just like in him. It's in his DNA. Like I have to.
Yeah.
People have asked him. This is why I bring up the question.
Swagger though.
Yeah. People have asked him that. That's why I bring up the question. Like, dude, like, what do you do? Like, what do you pimp? I think it was on R2C2. Like, you're pimping walks and stuff. And he's like, dude, I'm not even trying to pimp them. It just happens. Like, it's part of his DNA. And I think that's the answer to why he doesn't get thrown at. It's just like
They are really smooth. Like, it's just one motion he bat flips.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Home run, and the bat is just, like, majestically thrown.
Robbie Cano-esque.
Exactly. Like, yeah, yes. He's got the Cano, yes. The Griffey yes. vibe to everything. Like, mm-hmm. yeah. when he does that home run, and he just has the arm, the swing that just lands in the
like, yeah, I know. Exactly.
The bat just, yeah, the bat just lands.
Game 5 home run right now.
Like, yeah. Every yeah, time.
I'm watching
every
it time, in my yeah. head right now, but he just has that vibe to him, and I love it. It's just mm-hmm. the only thing, obviously. I mean, everything about him is amazing. Like, you just feel like the team's better when he's out there patrolling center.
He bro, I didn't know my love for Aaron there. Hicks could, like, go up, and it did. It just in this podcast right here. Bro. yeah. Like, I love Aaron Hicks. I'm pumped to watch him this year.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm pumped that he might be ready for the actual season. So that's sick. Yeah. The only thing.
And for this team, sorry to interrupt you.
No, go
but
ahead.
It's just Aaron Hicks is such a good, like, when you think about our lineup, Aaron Hicks isn't coming to mind right away. But the fact that we have all those power hitters and those, like, those DJs, those Glavers, and then those Judge and Stanton, like mm-hmm. the Gio Urshela, Aaron Hicks guys, that's like either in the heart, wherever they are in the lineup, it's just like there's no break because like that's other people. He could be a three hitter on a lot of teams.
Yeah.
And for us, who knows where he's going to be.
With the whole, like, you know, the fact that he's a switch hitter, I mean, that really is huge.
Yeah.
How many right-handed hitters do we have in this lineup?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, the only guys that are
Gardner.
Is what, Gardner, and then if Talkman starts, which
Talkman,
I'm all
yeah.
for. But, I mean, now he's definitely not going to start. I was all for that, but with Hicks coming back,
yeah,
he's definitely not going to start opening day. Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, just Gardner, only left-handed hitter. So, I mean, Hicks yeah. is important, for sure. Really important. And, I mean, we haven't really talked about his defense all that much, too. I mean,
yeah.
his defense, he really can be a plus defender.
I mean, he's a very plus defender and has the most one of the most rocket arms we've ever seen. He broke that
whole
record.
Outfield is just a no fly zone. It's just
I love it when he's out.
Which is such an advantage. It really, really is an advantage. And not a lot of people, I feel like more so the older generation, they don't appreciate defense as much as they should.
Yeah. You know,
and that's
sure.
one of the things I'm really happy about analytics. Because there's things I don't like about it and things I do. I feel like analytic people, they really do focus on defense as much as you know they should. It's important.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, it definitely is.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about like a guy on first. With two outs, if you don't have those arms out there, he could score on mm-hmm. like a little gapper, but like that doesn't happen without outfield.
Yep. Exactly. Outfield. The mere threat alone of it adds value.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Yeah. People choose not to test him or not. And honestly, with the defense, I mean, that fucking catch, are we not going to talk about the catch?
What, in Minnesota?
Which catch? Yeah. The mm-hmm. catch. The catch.
Oh, after he hit a home run.
The walk up. Yeah. That he actually tied the ball
game
up.
That was such
up.
A performance.
I mean, are we talking about that catch being one of the most iconic catches in Yankees history, or is that a chat?
I would.
Oof.
Is that too much?
It's tough because the iconic catches in Yankee history. Anytime I think of like when you put the word iconic in Yankee in a sentence, it has to be postseason for me.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you think about like what comes to mind, like that absolutely is my number one. Like off the top of my head, like you know, best plays in general that I've seen from a player in Yankee uniform. I mean, unless I'm forgetting something, that's easily number one.
There's Jeter diving into the stands.
It also won the game, too. It was a walk-off
catch. There's Melky Cabrera. I remember Melky's.
Another thing, too, and this is like me being biased. I shouldn't think this way, but like when it comes to a really good play, I also like factor in the call of that play.
Yeah.
The fact that Ryan Miguel made the call that entire game, that just adds to it. Same with Jeter's dive. Michael Kay's call on Jeter's dive is iconic.
And the esque of like that game was just so back and forth. I remember scaring the living shit out of my girlfriend because she was sleeping next to me. I'm watching on my phone. And I started screaming because it was so late at night, too.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I remember when I was.
And it's cool, too, knowing we went on to face them in the playoffs, too. So, like,
yeah, and we smoked them.
Cool matchup,
Yeah, we smoked them, too. I mean, I remember when I was watching that game, I was watching it from the beginning. Then I wanted to go see Spider-Man Far From Home. So we went across the street. There's a movie theater right there. So we saw it and we came back not expecting the game to be on. Didn't check our phone, come back, and it's in the 14th inning or whatever it is. And we're like, okay, we. Immediately see the first thing I see is the Hicks home run, and then obviously the Hicks catch after that. And it's just that is probably the number one game of all last year.
Yeah, I only think that happened playoffs. At home. Imagine if that happened at home in Yankee Stadium.
Oh my god,
bro, the place would collapse. Like that would have been
honestly, it might have been off the wall.
Oh, dude, like, it would have been
Stadium.
That's true. But I just hate that stadium too. I would like it to be home, but that stadium sucks. Remember when they did the whole like playing the New York every time we'd strike out or something, or they did the
did they?
I think
why do I not even remember that? What bastards.
I'm pretty sure they did. Fuck that stadium.
There are children though. Poor twins.
But anyway, to wrap up Hicks a little bit, his stats last year were he batted .235 in 59 games. Obviously he didn't play the full season. He ended up hitting 12 home runs, so he does have the power all the time like that. what do we expect out of Hicks this year? Obviously, I think the sample size is honestly probably accurate to what you were going to get out of him, whether he comes back when the season starts.
Oh, really?
Or however many games we play. What do you mean?
Like, in the, you think like the 2019 season, that like that reflects what Hicks is going to be?
I think the number.
I think he's going to be better is all I'm saying.
I think number of games. I'm saying I think he'll.
Oh, number of games.
I'm saying so the number of games he'll play is accurate because we're going to get that sort of sample size. So
yeah, no, totally. My bad, misheard.
So what do you think? No, obviously you think he's going to do well. So what do you think he's going to do?
I do. Well, when I look at Aaron Hicks, I look mostly at the 2018 season. Only same as Stanton, like that's their last full healthy season. What yep. I mean. I'd expect him, say, what are we going, like off of like a 100-game sample or like an 80-game sample? I mean, in general, I would say he's probably going to hit like 240, 250. I think he's right in that area probably for the rest of his career. On base, hopefully north of 350. And I think he'll hold it for power. You know, I think he'll slug probably like 470 to 500 while providing good defense for sure.
Yeah, I think for these episodes, we should probably, instead of saying like a distinct number, like the number of home runs, just
slash line
plus or minus the average. Is he going to do good or bad? Because obviously we don't know how many games we're going to be playing, so there's nothing to compare to. So honestly, I also think that Hicks is going to have a great year. If he comes back nice and healthy, I mean, I just love the man. He's got so much power. Is he the most underrated player on this team?
Aaron Judge.
No.
Hicks is number two.
Kev, how do you think he's going to do this year?
I like you said, Dan, I think what we've seen from him is what we're going to get batting average wise. I think he'll be always around that I think a good year for him would be 270. Like, that'd be great. Yeah. And I think he'll be around 250. I think 22 home runs, somewhere around there if it's a shortened season.
I mean, 270 would be the best batting average of his career. So, that'd be damn good.
Yeah, I think he'll have a good year. I think he just needs to stay on the field, and then his impact alone will help us win a lot of games.
Yeah. All right. That'll do it for Hicks. See you next time. Find out what we're talking about next. I know we can.